KBBI Homer, AM 890. The time is 9:30 a.m. You are tuned to the coffee table. On the line is Pastor Aaron Weiser from Homer Church on the Rock. Good morning.
Good morning, Kathleen.
Good morning. And Mike Miller, Executive Director of the Homer Foundation. Are you there?
I am here. Can you hear me?
Wonderful. I hear you loud and clear. We're shifting focus on relief and aid. If you have questions for Aaron Weiser or Mike Miller from the Homer Foundation and Church on the Rock Homer, you can call 235-7721 or you can email your questions to info@kbbi.org. Pastor Weiser, good morning.
Good morning.
I would love to hear, we spoke a little bit about last week about the establishment of the I Love Homer Fund, or is it I Heart Homer Fund? Can you talk a little bit about the fund? You started with $25,000, and now your goal is $100,000, right?
Yeah, that's right. So we launched the fund Friday before last with an initial allocation of $25,000 for local relief. And that was the intention was to kind of, with that initial deposit, to get some momentum towards more fundraising. Right now, the fund is at just about $51,000.
I'm looking at it, $49,530, according to ilovehomer.org.
That's right. Yeah, so that was, I think that was the balance yesterday. And money keeps, of course, coming in. As you well know, Homer has a reputation for being a generous community. So that's where the fund's at. And I'll reiterate what you just said. There is a website that we put together for the fund, ilovehomer.org. And the website actually, I think, is pretty self-explanatory as far as what types of relief the fund is being used to provide and how to access those opportunities.
Oh, good. Let's go into that. I will get to Mike Miller from the Homer Foundation in just a few minutes, because the two funds, the Homer Foundation's fund and the Church on the Rock fund, the I Love Homer fund, they're very different. They're designed for different purposes. So
things that we wanted to do with our fund, because we had an initial deposit to work off of, is we wanted to mobilize relief as quickly as possible, while being still strategic in the way that we disperse those funds. We wanted to make some funds available for people that are affected right away.
If a person wants to access those funds, you're not waiting until you reach $100,000 to distribute them.
Yeah, so there's if you go to ilovehomer.org, the different opportunities are there, but I'll explain just really briefly kind of the two main categories. So we've invested $25,000 of the fund at this point into existing organizations in the community that are providing relief in some form or fashion. And those are listed there. So we've partnered with the Food Pantry. We've partnered with Love Inc. There's a number of other ones. Haven House. I'm drawing a blank on the rest of that list. But anyways, so we have sent money already to some of these organizations that are already providing different types of relief in the community. The other thing that we're doing is that we've put together what we're calling a relief packet, which is $250 of gift cards for local retailers, basically grocers in town, grocers and pharmacies. And the relief packets are intended for people who are falling in the cracks between employment and unemployment. So, for example, if someone was immediately released from their job, unemployment benefits right now are actually fairly good. If you're applying for unemployment as a result of the current crisis that's going on. But a lot of people are not filing for unemployment, but they've had their hours reduced, which has created some difficulty for them. What we want to do is just get a little bit of relief into the hands of those people. And so I would encourage anyone who's listening to this, if you're in that situation, you can go on. It's not a lengthy application. It's just a short questionnaire that will get us in touch with you. Or if you're an employer who has a couple of employees that you know have been really put in a bind because you've had to reduce their hours, and yet, you know, out of loyalty to you, they continue to work at reduced hours, and you would like to see them get some help, you could come on and onto the ilovehomer.org website and apply on their behalf for them to receive one of those relief packets.
Okay, thank you so much for that. I'm going to switch to Mike Miller for just a minute, and I will be back to you. Thank you so much. Mike Miller, the fund at the Homer Foundation is different. Can you lay that out for people?
Sure, absolutely. Of course, the Homer Foundation is a community foundation. As such, we give grants to 501c3 organizations within the community or other organizations eligible to receive those sort of grants, like traditional councils.
Can you speak closely into your mic?
Yeah, sure. Sure. We, as a community foundation, we must give grants to 501c3s or similar sort of organizations like traditional councils, others that qualify. So what we've done, what our board did, was set aside a special fund for organizations doing basic services and the cost that they're incurring as a result of COVID-19.
Can you give some examples of those basic services?
Sure. Would be anything to do with hunger, homelessness, people working with kids or families who are experiencing child care losses. We are on our website. If you go out there at homerfoundation.org, right on the main page, there's a big banner, and you can click on that. And also our press release is out there. So we're looking to provide grants to nonprofits providing human services and emergency assistance.
So if I understand correctly, I'm not sure if I've got this right. So you could fund, say, because I am hearing about childcare being a huge problem right now, an issue that people need to address. A childcare organization that is a nonprofit could apply for funds that would pay for children to be there who can't afford to right now?
That is a possibility. As long as they're following whatever guidelines that they have to follow, from the CDC and from the state. But yeah, that's right. We are working. One of our big differences between our two funds is we work with the nonprofits who are serving people. And as I understand it, generally speaking, the iHeart Homer Fund has a more direct line to help folks. And that's one of the main differences between us. We've been given grants already to the Homer Senior Center, the Anchor Point Senior Center, Haven House, and the Anchor Point Food Pantry. So the money's getting out there to help those folks who are experiencing different food costs. Our Anchor Point partner said they basically have tripled the amount of people coming to see them. I know the Homer Senior Center has they're doing all sorts of drive-by service for meals, which is, of course, those are supplies that they don't have on hand, they have to go purchase. So those are the kind of things that we're doing with our fund and just supporting our nonprofit partners who are helping the folks here in the community.
Pastor Weiser, how are you addressing the increased need for child care and such?
We have not come up with a strategy to directly address that. However, we are in our fundraising efforts. What our intention was to get some funds available immediately to meet the first needs that we encountered and then to reevaluate as we go forward what the new and arising needs are. It's been interesting even in the last 2 weeks how the landscape has changed and new needs are arising. So right now, with the disbursement of the funds that we have, it's more in the form of direct financial assistance, utility assistance, food assistance. We have not moved towards some kind of underwriting of childcare at this point, but we are looking ahead and trying to understand, as this continues, what new needs are arising and what strategy do we need to implement to put into place to try to meet those needs.
And so I've been looking at I Love Homer page. You, in 2 weeks, you've doubled your fund. So donations are going great. Are people reaching out to use the fund yet?
Yes, we've had some people reach out to use the fund. Some of it we won't know directly if they reach out because they'll reach out through some of the organizations that we gave funds to, similar to the Homer Foundation, in supporting existing nonprofits. So we wouldn't know immediately who's utilizing those funds. As far as the relief packets, which is the only portion that we're distributing directly, yes, we have already had contact with both people looking directly for relief, and then we've had contact with employers who are looking for some relief for their employees who have been had their hours reduced.
Yeah, and the privacy aspect of that, I think, will help people reach out as well and ask for help.
That's right. And I want to point out two quick things, if I could.
Go ahead.
If you go to the ilovehomer.org, there's a number of different things that we have funded through the I Love Homer Fund. One of them, though, is that we do have a couple of agencies in the community that are providing baby supplies, disposable baby supplies. And then the other one that I'm excited about is that we have partnered with Cornerstone Counseling Center to provide temporary crisis counseling scholarships for people who can't afford to go see a counselor. And there's instructions as to how to request that. Again, we've made it as easy as possible to access that. But what Cornerstone Counseling Clinic has done is they have waived the normal intake for people who are calling under this program to set up just a short-term immediate relief in the form of crisis counseling for people that need some help navigating their new realities.
Mike Miller from the Homer Foundation, I want to ask you the same thing. Your fund is taking donations. How is that going? Are you getting response?
Oh, absolutely. The community and our donors have been just really responsive to us. We've received over $20,000 already, and of course we're matching that with funds that we already have on hand that we would be granting out anyway. So we're really happy with the response, and we know that this is, as Pastor Weiser was saying, this is an evolving relationship and with our donors and with the people in need, and we're going to be reviewing what we've got going on as far as what we're focusing on. Some point in time, we know that the corner will turn, and we'll have to reevaluate where we're granting our dollars and how we're granting them, and so we're keeping that in mind as we're moving forward. Because
that was my next question on my list, is what is that process like for granting out funds and reviewing all the requests for donations? What's that committee look like?
We have we established a small quick response committee, for lack of a better term. It consists of some board members and some community members and myself, and we created a smaller, more abbreviated, shall we say, grant request compared to our normal grant request. It's basically a one-pager, which is also, you can also access from our website. And we've been turning those around in about 24 to 48 hours. So we get them approved, get them reviewed, get them approved, and get the agencies out the funds that they need. So it goes pretty fast. And we know these things they're asking for, they're not things that they needed last week. There's things that they suddenly needed as a response to the COVID-19 situation. And so we want to be responsive to that.
And did I hear some sort of sound of affirmation from Aaron Weiser?
We did a very similar thing to what the Homer Foundation did. We set up a temporary task force that reached out to nonprofits. And one of the things that we discovered is that for a lot of these nonprofits, because of the increase in demand, they've actually had to set aside much of their fundraising efforts.
Absolutely.
So, like, for example, I talked to the senior center. The senior center has been preparing for this new reality much longer than most entities in the community. And as a result of that, the additional workload of making their facility safe during this time, they've essentially had to cease fundraising. And so through direct outreach to them, we can't totally fill in the gap, but what can we do? Where are the gaps that you see right away? And for them, one of the gaps right away was their meal program. And so we included that as a request and sent them a check to help bolster their meal program. But for a lot of these nonprofits, it's a difficult time because as demand increases and their need for resources increases, their capacity to raise funds for those resources has diminished.
Yeah, I would glom on that with what Pastor said. That's the same. We have the same conversations, and so many of these nonprofits hold gatherings, different events, galas, dinners, et cetera.
Right.
And of course, with the idea of social distancing and not holding large gatherings, that has really put a crimp in their fundraising, which is going to have long-lasting effects. It's not going to be just in the next 60 days. It may affect the outcome of their entire year.
Right. You're setting up your budget for years to come.
So hopefully they'll also be following the stimulus package that was approved holds some hope for them, but they've still got to get between here and there. And so that's where we want to make sure we can support them.
Okay, you're listening to The Coffee Table, and the time is 9:46, so last call for call-in questions. The number to call is 235-7721, or you can email a question to info@kbbi.org. The next question on my list is just, what does this week look like in terms of what your plans are and going forward? Every day it feels like it's a new fiscal year. There's so much happening all the time. How are you prioritizing what's happening this week, and what are your plans going ahead, Pastor Weiser?
For us right now, it's responding to requests for the relief packets as quickly as possible. One of the things I wanted to add to is that the locally owned retailers have been really great in increasing the value of our investment for these packets, which I'm really thankful for. Last week it was primarily on getting the plan nailed down. How are we going to distribute these funds? And then getting the website up and going. This week it's about getting the word out and then processing those requests as quickly as possible to get relief into the hands of people who need it.
And it does sound like there's some measure of a remove between the I Love Homer Fund and the people who receive it, you know, where you don't really know who they are and that sort of thing. Also, people should, it's probably time to remind people that it's not cash, it's a card that you can use for local businesses, and also is it that you can use to pay your water bill and your electricity bill?
So the relief packets are just gift cards for local retailers, Safeway, Ulmer's, Scott's, and Save You More. And what we do for a verification for those relief packets is we just simply confirm with the employer the situation with the employee. So there's one box they have to check that gives us permission to just touch base with the employer and say, is this, we just want to confirm this. Again, similar to what Mike Miller said, we're trying not to create sort of a laborious bureaucracy through the application process for these families that have so quickly been put in a crisis situation. We want to be as responsive as possible while still doing due diligence. So they just simply give us permission to check in with their employer to confirm their situation and then right away get it into their hands. There is utility assistance available through the I Love Homer Fund, but we're distributing that utility assistance through Love, Inc. And the process for applying that utility assistance is on the ilovehomer.org webpage.
Thank you for making that distinction, because you can access it at the same place,
Love
Homer, but it is two separate things. Okay.
That's correct.
So thanks for that. And I do have a question on from Gmail. How are you keeping track of these, and will reports of what you're distributing be put on your web pages? I guess both Homer Foundation and I Love Homer. Are you going to be putting up, are you going to be transparent about what you distribute?
Yeah, we already have a disbursement plan on the website. So all of the funds, the way that it's been distributed already is there. And then we will be tracking the relief packets, which will go out individually. We will not obviously post the individual names of recipients of those relief packets, but the amount used on those relief packets and how many relief packets are distributed, we will be posting that. And all of the money that's gone to or going to the partner agencies has already been listed there.
Yeah, I just clicked on the disbursement plan, and it's all laid out there on the ilovehomer.org page. What about the Homer Foundation? Now I'm going to your page.
Sure. Yeah, we don't typically put our grants of the year out there. Nothing says we can't do that, but they all show up in our annual report that we publish every year, which does end up on our website. But in this case, you know, for lots of other good purposes, including fundraising, you know, we might just put them out there just so people see what's going on and that their money is going straight to use. So, but yeah, we are definitely transparent about what we do.
And it's just about that time to wrap up, but I want to ask one more time. Pastor Aaron Weiser from Church on the Rock Homer has the I Love Homer Fund, and it can be accessed at ilovehomer.org. You can donate there, or you can start the process of applying there. Is there anything else that you want to say to people about accessing that fund or donating to it?
I think the one other thing that I would want to add is that if you know someone who you know is in a financially difficult position, and yet they are the kind of individual who is very hesitant to reach out for some help, we want to be of assistance to those people. We know that a $250 relief packet is not going to change the whole storyline. We just want to get some help into the hands of people who really, truly need help. And so if you know someone like that, point them in our direction. We will not make it difficult or awkward for them. We just want to be a blessing to them and to be a help during this time. So I would encourage anyone who's listening to this just to help us to spread the word. And help us connect with the people who really, truly have needs.
Thank you, Pastor Aaron Weiser from Homer Church on the Rock. Anyone who wants all that information can easily access it at ilovehomer.org. Thank you. And Mike Miller, any final words from you?
Sure. Appreciate you having us on, and just appreciate Pastor Weiser and his congregation there and the others in the faith community. You guys are really rock stars for really stepping up showing people how much Homer loves them. And as far as people who are getting or needing help, the folks out there at the pantries and the various places that are providing those services, they are working some really hard hours and working harder than they have. And oftentimes, many of those people are potential at-risk themselves. They're older people. Their volunteers are older, and they're really going through a lot. So if you are those folks who are getting those services, or if you know people who are providing those services, you know, really smile at them and thank them, because they're all working really hard and to some extent putting themselves at risk as well. So I just really appreciate all of our nonprofit partners and all their volunteers.
And the final question for both of you, I'll start with Pastor Aaron Weiser. What are you doing personally to keep your spirits up, to keep healthy? What's your routine like right now? I'm sure that things have changed a lot.
Oh my goodness. It's what a bizarre time. I have six children, two high schoolers, a junior higher, and three elementary students that are all trying to simultaneously have Zoom meetings for school during the day, which has been very exciting. I feel like we're still adjusting a little bit, but one thing that we have done is that we do drives as a family and just get out of the house and get in the car and get out as much as we're able to, just to sort of break up the day a little bit. And then we've created new games in the house. My wife and I have allowed some more rowdy games than we probably would normally allow in the dining room, but we're just trying to make the best of it. And then the last thing is focusing on things like the I Love Homer Fund has really been a great way to adjust to this new reality, is to focus on meeting needs.
Thank you for that. And Mike Miller, same question.
I don't have all that activity in my place, which is probably good, because my wife and I are actually, we moved here in our fifth wheel, and we are still living in it, and we are building a house. And so when I'm done, I go work on my house, and it's somewhat it's not only helpful and progressive, but it's somewhat cathartic to go get your head out of this and go focus on something else for a little while. That's it, because there is so much you can do, and there is always more to do, but at a point in time, you have to self-care. And that same goes to all those other folks out there who are doing good work. You have to make time for self-care.
Well, thank you so much. Executive Director of the Homer Foundation, Mike Miller. You can access Homer Foundation at homerfoundation.org. You can donate to their Homer Foundation COVID-19 Response Fund at the same place, homerfoundation.org. And Pastor Aaron Weiser from Homer Church on the Rock, the ilovehomer.org webpage is where you can both donate to their fund for individual relief and also access those funds for your family or for yourself. This has been the Coffee Table. I'm Kathleen Gustafson. Thank you to you both.
Thanks, Kathleen.
Thank you very much.